The following is a production of Central Christian Center and Pastor Hank DeLott.
I want to read you something out of 2 Kings chapter 2, but it's okay. I'm not going to get real stiff here today. If it's okay, I just kind of want to talk and tell you a couple, about four things that I saw here. And you wouldn't believe the stack of papers I threw away this morning. When I started this earlier in the week and I went writing all these ideas and all these scriptures, and then every day I would reduce it down a little bit, and finally this morning I just put it down on one page here. But and so I had a big old stack of papers that I threw away. I said, man, all those good ideas and throwing them away. But let me read you this. I love Elijah and Elisha. I just love those stories. I'm in the wrong place here. 2 Kings 8 says, now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? And Elisha said, please, let me a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Here he is, he's getting ready to leave, and Elijah says, what do you want, Elisha? And he said, the only thing I want, he said, I just want a double portion of your spirit. Father, help me. Holy Spirit, I give this to you in Jesus' name. I love Elijah and Elisha, and I think I kind of lean towards Elisha a little more than Elijah, just because he wanted more. He wasn't satisfied. He wanted a little bit. Now think of that. Elijah was pretty hot. I mean, he was the hottest act going. He was rolling now, and for some young buck to have the audacity to want more reminds me of some of you guys and gals. Oh, we know God moved great, and we know He's done great things, but we want more of what He's got. We don't want to settle for just what we've already seen and what we've already done. We want a double portion. How gutsy. Didn't want to settle for the status quo. And as I read this, I just had four little thoughts here. And as I think and as I pray and as I seek God, it's like two facets of it. I want to be more. I think of me and God, but then I think of the church, us, Central. I want to be more for God, don't you? I want to be more. I want to have more power. I don't want to settle for what I've seen and what I know. I just want something bigger, and that's what I want for this church also. I just thought about that, and I thought how, at first I thought, man, he was awful nervy. God's man, mighty man of power. And here this guy comes on the scene and says, I want twice as much. But then as I got to thinking about it, I thought, no, that made God smile. See, how many know we try to keep God in a box? We try to keep him in our rules and regulations. We try to keep him in our church constitution because we can control some of that. But you know what? God would like to let him just get out of the box. He'd like to do some things in your life so big that it'd just leave your mouth open. He'd just like to do some things so big in our church that we'd just be going... And you know, usually when he does something like that, usually the first thing I think is, wow, I wish that would have been my idea. But God wants to be challenged. He said in Malachi, he said, prove me concerning our giving to him. He said, but prove me and just see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings so much, so many of them, so big, you can't even, you don't even have no place to put them. Huh? How many like just a couple of days of that? Come on, now get with me. I haven't got time to pump you up today. You're supposed to already be pumped up. I know a lot of you ladies are tired. Oh, y'all did a great job. Been hearing stories. But anyway, you know, he wants to be child. He wants to do more. In 2 Chronicles 16, he says, I'm going to and fro across the earth. I'm just looking for anybody whose heart's towards me, whose heart's loyal, I'm looking for anybody who's coming after me so I can prove myself strong in their behalf. Well, that ought to make you woo, where two of us will agree. You know the bad thing about getting cold and dry? Nobody can shake you out of it but you. Huh? That's the bad thing about getting cold. And you don't want to shake yourself out of it because it feels so comfortable. You ready to get shaken? Huh? I'm asking the Holy Ghost to shake you. I'm asking him to shake me. When we started this praying 30 days ago, I wanted to get serious, but I didn't really want to get serious. You know what I mean? I mean, I wanted God to move, but I really didn't want him to move too much. I didn't want to get out of my comfort zone too much. You never been that way, have you? Now, we're going to give an altar call in a minute, so you know what it says about liars. Man, God is so big. He says, Paul says in the third chapter of Ephesians, he describes God as someone who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask or think. Think about the biggest thing you can think about. He's bigger than that. Think about the biggest blessing you could ever get. He's bigger than that. He wants to do more than that. Well, I don't want him to do too much. I do. I want him to do a whole bunch. Huh? Now everybody say, I'm not cold. I'm not dry. I've just been looking this way. We're not finished products yet, but we're works in progress. And so wherever you are today, hey, just hold on. Just say, I want more, and just hold on. But God wants us to challenge him. He wants us. In Ephesians 2, it says that when we were saved, that he raised us up and seated us on a heavenly level, so that in the ages to come, he could show us the exceeding greatness of his grace. That he could show us the exceeding greatness of his kindness towards us. It says we're created, that he created us so that we could walk in all the good that he's provided for us. And he's been planning good work since he made Adam. Huh? Huh? Anybody alive today? Okay. Punch your neighbor and say, I'm alive. And say, if I fall asleep, just nudge me. No. I love Elisha because he said, I want a double portion. A double portion. You know, I don't know about you today, but I want a double portion. Huh? I don't know about you today, but I want a double portion for this church. I want him to be big in everybody's church in town. I want every church to be booming, but I'm not concentrating on them. I want him to be big here. I want him to do something here. Double portion. So Elisha wanted more of God. You want more of God? The next thing I thought about was, is he was hungry for it. He didn't just go, Lord, I want more of you. No, he was hungry. He was hungry. Let me read you something out of Matthew. Where is that? Matthew 5, 6. Well, I'll just tell you what it says. Matthew, I'll look on there. I can tell you what it says there. It says that those who will hunger and thirst after righteousness will be satisfied. Elisha was hungry for God. He wanted more of God. He was so hungry that he wasn't going to settle for anything less. To hunger and thirst, it means to crave, to seek with eager eyes, to go after, to long for. Craving. I was thinking about that craving. You know, it's like some of you ladies when you were going to have a baby and you remember craving things, man. Going there and eating pickles and ice cream or something. Eating craving. You ever just be hungry for something and you don't know what it is and you're going in there and pretty soon you sampled so much stuff you're already full and you still didn't get whatever it was you were looking for. Hungry for it, craving for it. God, I gotta have more for you, more of you. I want all you got. You know, and as I saw this, he was so hungry that you know there was a reason that Elijah looked over at Elisha and said, "Okay, what is it that you want? What can I do for you?" Because old Elisha was so committed, his heart was so fixed. Three times in this chapter here, three times Elijah was gonna leave. He was gonna go to Bethel, and he's told Elisha, he said, "You stay right here, wait right here." And Elisha was so focused on the message, he was so focused on the assignment of God that Elisha said, "You stay right here and I'm gonna go." And Elisha said, "No, I'm not staying here, I'm going with you." A little bit later he said, "Now you stay right here because I'm going into Jericho." He said, "I'm not staying here, I'm going with you." Next time he stops, he says, "Wait right here for me, I'm going into Jordan." And Elisha said, No, I'm not leaving." He was so hungry for God, and I believe that's why Elijah looked at him and said, "Man, I see something in you. I see a heart in you. Man, you're going after God. You're going after something. I see something in you. What is it you want?" Elijah said, "Give me a double whammy. Huh? I want twice as much." Let me ask you a question. Are you hungry? See, I'm talking about so hungry. 30 days ago, I said, "God, I want you more than I want food." Now, I still ate plenty of food during the month. I don't want to act too spiritual here, but I want you to understand. I want you to get the heart of this thing. God, I want you more than anything. You're more important to me than anything. And you know what? I decided this 30 days that after this, I'm not quitting this. I'm going on with this, man. I have to have him to survive, don't you? I'm hungry for him. You know, we want more God and we'd like more God, but we kind of like to sit on the couch and eat potato chips while he came and did it all for us. Now, we want God. We want more of him. But you know, God, I don't want to. You know, I've got so many things in life. I got so many things, so many problems. I got so many things happening around me. I got so many things I got to do. I got so many. I blah, 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 blah. Are you hungry? I hope sometime this month that most of you just got with God and said, you know, God, stop the world. I got to have you. Stop the world, God. I can't survive without you, Holy Spirit. I've got to have what you want for me, God. I'm hungry for that. Let me restate something, see? When you're cold, and I guess cold is better than lukewarm because Jesus said he's going to spew us out if we're lukewarm. But when you're cold, nobody can shake you out of that but you. And you don't want to because it feels so good. It feels so comfortable. Can I tell you something? Comfortable will get you killed in a faith battle. Now, I'm not saying you're supposed to be uncomfortable all the time. But I'm just saying we have a human nature that causes us to be lazy.
Not me.
Well, you're probably the laziest one then. Do you know what? A double portion. I was trying to get Nathan to tell me if this was really a word or not, but he said, well, in our language, you can make up any word you want. And I said, well, good, because I do. But a double portion doesn't come lazily. You've got to want it. God's not going to be big in your life by accident. You got to want it. Now, I don't know how to do that. I have to get down before God and I say, God, I'm so hungry for you and I don't even know what I'm trying to ask you for. He says, that's okay, because the Holy Spirit knows what you have need of. He knows your weaknesses and he's making intercession for you right now. He knows my will for your life and he's praying for you. And I said, woo, all right. Now it doesn't depend on me. I just have to want it. Are you with me? I just have to want it. I want the power of you in my life, God. I just don't want to have to do nothing. Want a double portion. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Guess that means I better move on here. The third thing that I noticed was in verse 10. Says, so Elisha told him, said, I want a double portion of your spirit on me. And verse 10 says, so he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it'll not be so. If you see me when God takes me out, let me just read you this real quick. And when it happened, they continued to talk, and suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. Keep your eyes on me. It's important to stay focused. How many know we have a tendency to keep our eye on the wrong thing? Huh? I get so busy sometimes looking for the answer to my problem that I forget that it's all that process while my answer's coming that's what's building me. Ladies, if you're not careful, you can have a big conference and you can get so engulfed in seeing what's going on. You can get so focused on how many's here and whether they're excited or not and whether we're performing right or not. You can get your eyes so focused on that you don't see what God's doing in the seats, in the hearts, and in the lives of those ladies. I've been hearing the stories. I don't know what you saw here, but I know what God was doing here. Are you hearing me? Ladies, I'm going to say something. Boy, y'all work so hard. You've been working on this conference since last year this time. You work so hard. But can I tell you something? The big deal wasn't what happened here Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday. The big deal in your life was all that God built into you while you were doing it. All the character He built into you. All the faithfulness He built into you. All the determination He... When you came in here, you didn't need this lady to tell you you were brave. You already were brave. Huh? Because He did something inside of you. It would have been easy for Elisha to have looked at the chariot of fire, man. It would have been easier for him to look at the horses of fire. It would have been easy for him to concentrate on the whirlwind. But he didn't. He kept his eye on what God was doing. Kept his eye on what was important. And because of it, what happened? See, we're geared to look at the answer. We're so geared to focus on our problem and when we're going to get out of this problem that we don't even pay attention to what Romans 8 tells us, that God's using all this stuff to work in us something that's good for us. He doesn't cause your problem. He doesn't cause your tragedy. But whatever happens, He's got the power, if you'll let Him, to come in and work in your heart and work in your life and put some steel in there. And when He gets done, there's something there that wasn't there before the problem, before the crisis. We got too many Christians, I call them fizzy brains. We just want to see a big production. We just want to see some chariots of fire, some horses of fire. We just want to see some whirlwinds. We're like old Elijah in the cave, man, and the heavy cyclone wind comes by and tears the mountain up. But God wasn't in the wind. Then the earthquake comes, but God wasn't in the earthquake. Then the fire comes, God wasn't in the fire. Then that still small voice came. God says, now, Elijah, what are you doing here? Let's get back on track. Let's get back on mission. Do you understand? We're so geared to see the spectacular. We're so geared to see the chariots of fire. Hey, let me just tell you something. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let Him build a work in you. And I promise you, He'll set your wagon on fire. I promise you. See, we want a title. We want a position. I remember growing up around here, we all wanted on the staff. Well, everybody couldn't be on the staff. We all wanted on the staff. But not very many of us wanted to pay the dues. Not very many of us wanted to go into the trenches and learn what that meant. Let God build us. Now, no, it's different now. Hear what I'm saying. Elisha kept his eyes on God, on Elijah. He kept his eyes on what God was doing. He kept his eyes. He stayed focused. You need to stay focused on what God's doing in your life. How many want to see a double portion work of God in this church? No, how many really want to see a double portion of God move in this church? Well, that's better, but how many of you really want to see a double portion of God move in this church? Well, let me tell you a secret. Quit looking for a plan, quit looking for an idea, and start paying attention to what He's doing in your heart, because if He gets you stirred up, and if He gets me stirred up, He doesn't have any problem getting the plan done and getting the all the rest of it done. He doesn't have any trouble setting the chariot on fire. The only place He has trouble is getting my heart set on fire. Huh? And I got all kinds of, preachers got all kinds of reasons why God's not moving. It's because the people aren't no good. The people sitting there go, well, we're not doing nothing because the pastor's not on fire. And the pastor's going, well, we're not doing nothing because the people aren't. Hey, baloney! point to God, point up, and then take your finger and go right here. Say, here's the problem. Huh? Here's my problem. If I can get this fixed, nothing can stop me. Huh? I tell you what I'm doing now. I'm just looking to see every time I see a little flame starting to rain. And every time I see a little flame, you're going to see me doing like this, fan this sucker, because I want to see some chariots on fire. Well, I don't just want to see your chariot on fire. I want mine to be on fire too. Huh? Well, that was a lot better than all this stuff I had written here. Huh? See, we're so focused on, you know, a lot of people don't receive healing because they're focused on the wrong thing. We're focused on if it happens instantly or not, spontaneous. We're here, you know, but all of Jesus' healings didn't happen just instantly. I was studying the gift of healing. I shared this with Rob and some other guys the other night. I was studying, it's the gifts, plural, of healing, because there's different manifestations of the gifts. But the gifts of healing, the word healing, it means to cure, like a doctor will cure you. The doctor doesn't heal you. He tells you, if you go do this and this, and if you'll quit this, and if you'll do this, and take this and do that, you'll be cured. Are you with me? All of the healings, all healings aren't instantaneously. Jesus said to the lepers, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went in faith, believing what he said, they were healed. Now listen to this. A couple weeks ago, God spoke to me and said, I want to heal some backs. I had some calls that week. Pastor, when you prayed that, my back was healed. But did you know what? I'm going to use the word most, and I'm hoping that that becomes not true. Most of the time, healings aren't instantaneously. They're not instant. Most of the time, they are progressive. The gifts of healing. I take the word and I believe it and I begin to operate on faith, and that healing begins to work in me and I am cured. Let that soak in. But you know what, ever since then? Now, I'm asking people, said, how's your back? It's doing better. I talked to one gentleman, he says, well, I'm supposed to go for an MRI Tuesday, but when I go, they're going to see that there's nothing wrong there now. What's happening? It's happening. Does that make sense? Can you maybe receive your healing a little bit easier now? Well, nothing happened. No, keep your eye on the right thing. Keep your eye on what the Word said. Well, I'm believing for prosperity. We're just having a hard time, Hank. I'm believing for prosperity. Do you know what? The devil's gonna do everything he can to keep you from receiving anything God tries to give you. If you're believing for your healing, expect to feel worse. Huh? He's gonna stop. I came in Thursday and Shirley told me, she said, man, said, what a day. She said, the computers are down. I'm supposed to get all this stuff out for the conference and all this is happening and that's happening, and it was all clouded up and it looked like it's gonna storm and I said, well, does that surprise you? I said, don't you know what God's gonna do? Don't you know the devil is scared? The devil is nervous. Well, I don't know. You gals prayed so hard, I was afraid you called the rain off forever. And thank God I saw some yesterday afternoon. But I need to get them gals praying the other way now. You believe for healing? What's he going to do? He's going to make you feel worse. You're believing for prosperity. You're believing to have how many, you're not there now maybe, but you've been at a place once in your life or twice where there was more month left at the end of the money. I don't like that, do you? You're praying, you know what's going to happen? He's going to make it look like it doesn't work, but keep your eyes where your eyes are supposed to be, because whatever you are believing for, if you've asked God, He's working behind the scenes for you. That makes sense? Well, God's going to do big things in our lives. Something has to change. You know, we're all talking about change, and you know, but you can't just change stuff for the sake of changing it. The real change is supposed to happen in my heart and in your heart. And trust me, I see it happening in you. I see it happening. Every time I get around some of you, I see it happening. And I just go away praying, Lord, let them see what's happening. Let them see what you're doing. You understand? We got to keep our eyes on what God's doing and what how He's leading us and what He's showing us, rather than everything that's going on around us. Rather than how we feel or what we see. We can't be moved by that stuff. Well, anyway, I just love Elijah. He just kept his eyes on the prophet, man. He just kept his eyes on him. All the chariots all flaming up, and the horses are all flaming up, and the whirlwind's all blowing. Not old Elijah, he's got his eyes on the prophet. All kinds of things are going to go on, and as we get deeper into these last days before Jesus comes, things are going to get a whole lot different. But I'm keeping my eyes on the Savior, man. I'm keeping my eyes on the Savior. And I'm not keeping my eyes on Him with a frown on my face and wringing my hands. I'm keeping my eyes on Him with a smile and an anticipation in my spirit for the good things He's going to do, the big things He's going to do. Well, keep your eyes where they need to be. See what God's doing. Huh? Because if you don't, you'd be frustrated. You'd be discouraged. You know, the funny thing about that is when we get frustrated and we get discouraged, it's always your fault. Somebody discouraged me. It's always somebody else's fault. Joy is an inside job. If I got the joy of the Lord, you can't steal my joy. Huh? Come on, don't patty cake. Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good. Well, the last thing that I saw that stuck out in me, he went. Let me read you 13 and 14. Where'd it go? Where over there it is. So Elijah's taken out. No, Elisha's watched him. Man, he grabs a hold of his clothes even, man, and pulls some of them off of him as he's going out. That's okay. He didn't need clothes where he was going anyway. But it says, verse 13 says, he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he went back and stood by the banks of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the God, Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water, it was divided this way and that. And Elisha crossed over. He went. He took up right where Elijah left off. He didn't bat an eye. He didn't sit around and wait for a word from the Lord. He didn't sit around and pray, "Lord, would you use me?" He asked for a double portion, and Elijah said, "If you'll watch me, if you'll see me when I leave, you'll get it." Do you know that Elijah did 14 miracles? Elisha did 28 miracles. But this is the point. He got a double portion. But that double portion didn't happen until he went. Let that soak in. He could have had all that double portion, but it never manifested until he went and started operating. You can have all the power of God in your life and all the faith of God, but nothing's going to happen until you go. Until you do something. Am I talking to the right crowd here? Okay, don't shout me down. If he wouldn't have gone, nothing would have happened. We never would have known about the 28 miracles. If he'd have just sit there by the Jordan and said, you know, man, I guess I'll wait for the tide to go down so I can get across. No, if you read the story, and you ought to read it. You ought to read it this week. He took that mantle and said, what did you do for Elijah? And, man, the same thing happened for him. And he took off and never slowed down, man. Guys were coming at him, groups, captains with groups of 50, and he'd look around and call fire down on them, and the fire would just eat them all up, man. You ought to read the story. I was watching some weightlifters the other day, and I thought, what? Now I think y'all work out. I think that's good for you. Matter of fact, I started lifting weights this morning. I found two dumbbells. They're 2.5 pounds apiece, and I'm working my way up. I'm working my way up. But I thought about these weightlifters. And I thought, man, what? Why are these guys building their muscles up so they can compete in a contest? Huh? Why are they building their muscles up so they can have their picture in a magazine? I don't quite look like them, I know, but I thought about that. Building their muscles up so they can... You ever see a weightlifter walk in a room? Now, you don't do that. I feel like you're picking on me. No, you don't do that. But you ever see a weightlifter, they walk in a room and they even if they pick up a glass or something, they go... Can I tell you something? Muscles are to work with. They're not to let everybody feel when you walk in a room. Huh? Now I was picking on Corey there because I'm jealous because he's got this physique, man. But you know what? We were down in Branson at my condo, and he was in there, and I had this fireplace over there, and I said, yeah. I said, you know, that's not where I really wanted it to be, but it's kind of stuck there. And you know, the first thing, instantly, Corey said, well, you want it moved? We can move it. We can move it. We didn't move it, but that was my fault. It wasn't his. I thought about that ever since. I thought, man, why didn't you let him help you move that, man? He wanted to use those muscles to do something with. Well, he uses them quite a bit. Why are you saying all that, Hank? Well, as Christians, we want to be great people of faith and power, but we don't ever do nothing with it. And we just walk in a room. We want to put us in a magazine. Huh? What good is a double portion going to do if you don't do something with it? Christians all over the world trying to get spiritual. But Jesus said, go. He said, these signs will follow you if you believe. In my name, you'll cast out devils. You'll lay hands on the sick. You'll speak with new tongues. You know, none of that happened until they went. And it says they went, and he went with them, confirming what they were saying and doing with signs and miracles. Well, I want you to get this. Huh? He's given it, Paul said, I want you to know the power that's been given to you. I want you to know the authority that's been. If you don't know where that is, read Ephesians. I want you to realize that power. We've been given the power over all the enemy, and we're sitting here begging God to do something with the devil because he's after me. Oh, God, the devil's after me. Devil's after me. Devil's after me. No, he's already got you. You with me? I'm not belittling a problem. I'm not belittling, but I'm telling you why. Because of what Jesus did. Because of that what that communion stands for. Because of what Jesus did. When I am at my weakest, I can be my strongest. Because I don't have to rely on me. I can draw on Him. Folks, I'm telling you what. The signs that are supposed to follow us, the sick folk ain't going to come and lay down before you in your living room. You got to go where they are and start laying hands on them. You with me? Oh, God, I want a double portion. What for? So you can be lazier? What for? So you can do more of nothing? Huh? No, I'm not getting on you. I'm getting on me. So you just grin and bear it too, because I know I'm probably getting a few of you too. You with me? Get out there, man, where it's at. The world's lost. They're dying. People out here need help. They need to know somebody is there to help them. They need to know they have a Savior. Most of them don't even know. He said, how are they ever going to know? How are they ever going to believe unless somebody tells them? How's anybody going to tell them unless they're sent? He said, I'm sending you. I'm sending you. Well, what if I lay hands on them and they don't get well? Well, that's not your end of it. It's His end to confirm it with signs and wonders. Do you know what, 44 years ago, the first person I went to the hospital and laid hands on, they died. So I just quit, and I just never, it didn't work for me. I never did lay hands on anybody else again. No. 44, 45 years later, I'm still laying hands on people. Huh? Are you sick? Just get close to me. I'll lay my hand on you. Huh? I believe that if I lay my hands on you, you'll be healed. Well, you believe if I lay my hand on you, you'll be healed. Well, that's not just for preachers. That's for everybody who believes in me. Huh? Well, what do you want us to have a double portion as a church for? So that everybody will think we're the fastest growing church? So that everybody will think we're the biggest one? What do you want a double portion in this church for? There's people out here that need to know. There's broken people all over our area that need to know that Jesus will help them. And they need to see some people that will represent Jesus well. And they need to see Jesus in us. And they need to see us care. And when they see us care, they'll know that Jesus cares. You with me? I'm just trying to get us some right perspective here, okay? I'm not saying we don't do or we do or we do a lot of do, okay? But I'm not saying. I'm just saying, man, you know, look in here. Now, not at me. You look in you, you know. Say, well, Brother Hank, don't you worry about Brother Hank. Brother Hank's hard enough on himself. Huh? I'm after me all the time. Just like you're after you. Huh? Just say, God, change this stuff in here. Give me the right perspective. Help me keep my eyes on you. Well, why do we want a double portion? I want a double portion so I can better serve my master. Why we as a church need a double portion? So we can better serve our master. If you're not serving, you need to find a place to serve. You hearing me? I'm going to start, and I'm going to be talking about areas that we need people to help in, that we need stuff to do. And God's going to begin to show us new areas that we need to start paying attention to, and that we need to start doing something. But it's up to all of us to do something with it when He shows us. Because if He shows us something, then He's going to give us the power and the ability to take care of that need. And you know what we do better? I'm praying, God, where do we fit into all this? Where does our church fit into all this? You know what we do better than anybody I can think of? Do you know? I'll tell you next week. No. We care. We care. We care about people. I'm not saying more than anybody, but I don't know of anybody that cares about people more than us. I don't know of any place you can go and be loved and not judged more than this place. But all those people out there don't know it. We got to get them in here so we can show them. That makes sense? Well, heck, I know. We've tried all that. I know. I saw a sign once. It said, push, pull, or get out of the way. Do something. Push or pull. But if you're not going to push or pull, then don't sit around and tell me why I can't do it. Don't sit around and tell me, well, we tried that 20 years ago. Hey, we're not living 20 years ago. We're living now. So let's step out and let God put our chariots on fire. Some of you, the inside, your spirit's leaping, but the outside doesn't know whether to leap or what to do. And some of you look like a deer caught in the headlights, but you don't know, you know. Hey, I'm telling you what, just don't worry about it. Just say, God, I volunteer. We're so busy asking God to bless what we're doing. God says, why don't you just find out what I'm blessing and then do that? Well, let's see. I don't know. I guess I don't need to look at that no more. Wasted all that time getting that on paper and then didn't do what it said. Hey, I love you, and I believe you're the hottest thing going, boy. You don't know it yet, some of you, but boy, you're the hottest thing in the kingdom. I mean, man, you're a bomb waiting to go off, man. You're an explosion ready to happen. You don't know it yet, but man, I'm telling you what, that giant on the inside of you is ready to bust out. I'm believing God to give you a double portion. Double portion. But you're never going to see it until you get busy doing something. Okay? It's while we busy ourselves doing the things that God has going. It's while we busy ourselves doing the things that make us a great church, that make us great for God, while we're busying ourselves doing the things that make this church strong so that we can reach more people, while we're doing that, God's building in us the anointing and the power. As we go and as we do, He strengthens us and He builds things in us that He can't do any other way unless you're engaged. I'm just praying that God will put your gear shift in drive, man. Huh? Because a lot of us are sitting in neutral and we're run, 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 run. How come I'm not going nowhere, God? Put it in drive, man. Huh? Put it in drive. Well, I hope you like this. If you didn't, I hope you won't get mad at me until you do like it, because I promise after you meditate it and chew on it a while, you'll like it. Are we okay, Corey? You're not flex once for me there. Okay, okay. Everybody stand. In case you didn't know it, I love you. You're pretty special. Pretty special. And I wouldn't trade you for 1,000 just like you. But I'm believing God to send 1,000 just like you in so we can love them too. How about you? You ready? You ready? You ready? Will you say, God, I want a double portion? And if you give me a double portion, I'll use it for you. Father, thank you for this service and thank you for what you've used me to say. And I pray that everything I said that was nonsense, that you'll just let us forget that. But everything that was brought by your Spirit, I'm asking you to just let that grow and grow and grow. Let it stick in our spirit, God. And let us hear what the Spirit says to us. God, we just want to serve you. We just want to help people. We just want to bless people, God. We just want everybody to know how great you are. And if you'll use us for that, I promise you, God, if you'll use us for that, we'll go as you say go. We'll do what you say do. We'll follow you, Holy Spirit. How many here, if you died right now, you know you're saved and you know you're ready to go? And praise God. Isn't that good? While nobody's looking, the eyes are shut. How many here don't know if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? You don't know for sure you're saved. If that's you, just raise your hand real quick. Raise your hand real quick and put it down. Is everybody here saved? Okay, I'm going to take it that everybody here is saved. I'm going to say this, church. There should never be another service where everybody in here is saved. Look at me. Look at me. Some of you fell asleep there. Look at me. Did you hear what I said? We should never have another service where everybody in the room saved. We ought to be bringing some of these folks in that need a touch from God. Bringing some of these folks in that need to hear about the Savior. You with me? Well, yes, Pastor, I'm behind you. Come on, now. You're the only one that can get yourself motivated. You're the only one that could get yourself started. I'm not saying you have to feel a whole bunch of stuff now, because most of you are so tired you don't know if you can feel anything. I know. But you just have to want to. So right now say, Holy Spirit, I really want this. But you show me. You do it in me. He'll start it churning. And I'll say this, some of you ladies and some of your husbands, don't feel guilty for getting a little bit of rest the next day or two, okay? You've worked hard. You've done good. And I'm going to say this, all the woven ladies and all the men that were pulled in too, you made God smile this week. You made God smile because He was able to touch a whole bunch of people. Okay? I don't know about you, but I'm aiming to make Him smile a whole bunch. How about you? If you didn't raise your hand and you don't know that you're saved, and I know there's one in here that way, before you leave, after I dismiss, why don't you just come down and let one of us pray with you? Doug's here. Steve, Mardell, we'll pray with you, but we want you to know that you're saved before you leave, okay? So if that's you and you don't know for sure, come down and let one of us pray with you. Hey, I love you. I speak His blessings on you. I believe Him to do big things in your life. And when He does big things in your life, what are you going to do? You're going to do something with it. He said, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. So focus on being the blessing and let Him make you. Guess that means it's time to quit. Hey, I love you. Have a great day. I think some of the ladies are going to share with us tonight. So if you want to get excited, be here tonight at 6 o'clock over in the fellowship hall. Love you. Tell somebody around you, Hank loves me. He just was that way today.